Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, November 7th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Real quick, gonna say this really fast. Squares for charity, get your square. $100. Venmo, Cameron Media. There's four more games trying to raise money for the Zone 6 Fund. Off and popping. 70 grand raised in a freaking month. It's gonna be nasty, the stuff we get to do for these kids. And I'm so fired up. I can't even explain how excited I am about it. So we got that going. If you want to be a part of it, it's fun. You gamble a little bit, try to win some money. In the end, you're raising money for charity. So $100 at Camera Media. Also, Menace to Picks is absolutely slaying. And last night, if you didn't, like, I didn't know. I'm not a good gambler, Chris. I win money mostly because I have a handicapping service that helps me. But our handicapping service, Menace to Picks, last night, all of a sudden fired about six bets on the Patriots game. And it was like Patriots money line, the under, like under passing yards for Mac Jones, over rushing yards for Josh Allen, over rushing yards for Ramondre Stevenson. And I'm like looking at this like, damn, they really feel like they have a tell in this game, right? Well, little did I know, they had the forecast and it was going to be like 40 mile an hour winds, like snow, just miserable, brutal weather, and everything hit. I'm talking about thousands of dollars made last night.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so shout out to my handicapping team at Menace to Picks. If you're interested, patreon.com/Menace to Picks. Absolutely. I would have never known. I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm not a great gambler, but they look at everything. They look at weather reports, injury reports, like history trends, like money trends, how money's going, just all kinds of stuff. So absolutely slaying this December in what is Locksmas instead of Christmas. It's Locksmas. So got that going. Also, Chris, I don't know if you heard, but I dropped a little rumor. A little birdie told me from inside the Oklahoma program that Lincoln Riley had an affair, and that was a big part of why he took the USC job. Now, it wasn't like it was originally reported to me, which is that like his wife made him leave, but when he left, his little side piece, his little honey, was not happy about it. She wanted to go. She said, I want to go to Hollywood. And he had a problem on his hands because she kind of owns him, right?
She doesn't kind of own him. She owns this man.
And big bad Annie Hansen, she bossed up. She said, all right, listen here, you little dick. I'm going with you. Not only that, but my husband, Zach Hansen, who is the O-line coach at Tulsa, he's going to be your new O-line coach. And what the fuck is Lincoln Riley going to say? Like, all he can say is I shouldn't have thrown my sausage down this hallway, right? Like, bad deal. So,
and he's going to Hollywood, the 33rd.
Sure enough, Chris, photos emerged of Annie Hansen and Zach Hansen at a recruiting function at USC this weekend. Looks like Zach Hansen is going to be the O-line coach. Annie's going to be there. I don't know if this is going to – maybe it's into some group sex, like pineapple upside down in the shopping cart type of shit. I don't know. Maybe it's just some swapping.
The ultimate team sport.
Maybe this guy just kind of whored his wife out to get the O-line job. Again, this is all alleged rumors, right? We don't know. We don't know the truth. I wasn't there. I didn't see him throw his sausage in her. But it's proving more and more to be pretty true as the moves add up. And you heard it here first, by the way.
Zach, so what happens if the USC O-line is god awful next year? How secure is his job?
Oh, he's got the most secure job in America. I mean, outside of Lincoln getting fired, that's the only way he gets fired. Like, you can't fire him now, right? The minute you fire him, it's like, wait a minute, sir. Lincoln bent me over his desk in his office. You're done.
Man, right? I expect a full press run behind every paywall, not even behind paywalls, actually. Every press run smear campaign, like it's like it's Urban.
Hey, just win, baby. That's the moral of the story. Just win. And what are we talking about? Bobby Petrino had a full side chick that worked for him on his motorcycle when he wrecked it. And he still he got fired, but he got the Louisville job like the next day. Like,
don't tell Heather Dinich.
Yeah, just win. Oh, my God. Heather Dinich would be like locked in her bedroom for 4 years if she found out that Lincoln Riley had sex with someone else besides his wife. Can you imagine? Like, Urban had a girl like dance on him a little bit.
Yeah, and while he looked like,
I was so disturbed.
She said like, she was scarred. Scarred, dog.
Like, lady, you should have seen some dirty shit Tom Herman did. You'd be sucking your thumb and rocking back and forth in the corner.
Oh, goodness. I swear we have a show to get to.
We probably have some real stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, we do. You want to start with Heisman finalists? Heisman finalists came out, and the Heisman voters got it wrong again. What's the surprise here?
No surprise. I take that back. Kenny Pickett being invited was a surprise to me. I mean, he's had an outstanding year. It's not that he's not deserving. I'm just surprised he's not. I mean, I guess he is the starting quarterback. You know what? The fake slide did it. Let's just be honest. The fake slide did it. Even though all the votes were in before the game, the fake slide did it. I'm blaming the fake slide. But I'm shocked. I'm really happy for CJ Stroud that he got invited. Obviously, Bryce Young's going to win the award. We can just go ahead and go to the bookie right now and bet that. I mean, that's a guarantee. I'm shocked and not surprised, if that makes sense, that Aiden Hutchinson would go over Will Anderson. And I think it's a storyline. I think it's what he did against Ohio State specifically. But it's surprising to me that an SEC player is not getting the notoriety over a Big Ten player when, in fact, it is well-deserved, right? Mm-hmm. Like, usually that narrative is opposite, right? Well, where if Will Anderson played at Ohio State and Aiden Hutchinson played at Alabama, you'd be sitting here like, this is such bullshit. It's SEC bias, right? But now you're looking at it like, what? I don't get it. Like,
it had to have been because of the ratings from that game.
Yeah, like, I mean, the ratings, from a lot of people saw it. A lot of people saw him, right? I think his mom being a smoke show helps. Hey, Miss Hutchinson. No, but honestly, I don't. It's confusing because Will Anderson deserves to be in this conversation. He deserves to be there. And if we're going to send a defensive end, why not send the best one, right?
And I do think the case is made for Hutchinson because this is such like a media darling, like who's present award. And when you look at the Michigan team, he's obviously the face of that team. When you look at the Alabama team, Will Anderson is not the face of that team.
That's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Alabama's so star-studded and so loaded that Will Anderson is just a guy. I mean, he's a very, very, very dominant player.
But I mean, he's the third player personally I think of when I think of Alabama football.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's probably being kind. Which makes sense. But I think other than that, I mean, it's I think Bryce Young earned it. Mm-hmm. I still stand by the fact that I'm going to backpedal on that a little bit. He is not a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that like he's not a dominant thrower. He's going to benefit from a down year, but dude's a baller. He really is. And the more I watch him, the more he's grown. I mean, by the end of this year, not really by the just in the SEC championship game, because he didn't play well against Auburn. What are we talking about? He didn't play well a lot of times. He should not take the hardware home.
And this was the year where nobody wanted the Heisman. No player wanted the Heisman.
Kenneth Walker III did.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. That fucker balled out. And all you can hold against him is the Ohio State game where he got a concussion. Like, shame on him. And it's like the fact that he's not even invited is just the whole thing's a joke. The whole thing is a joke. Look at who votes. A bunch of like Lee Corso motherfuckers that had strokes and can't even see. Like, what are we talking about? Like, how can this be the group? Kenneth Walker III is not even invited. He's not even there. I mean, it's nuts. But Bryce Young's going to win it. I don't want to piss on his parade too much, but Kenneth Walker III should at least be in New York City. I don't even know how you can argue that, let alone the fact that he should win it. Like, he certainly should be there over Aiden Hutchinson, over Kenny Pickett, over all of them, really.
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah, he was the most outstanding player, the MVP of his team. Like, his team isn't there without him. I just want to take a victory lap on Kenny Pickett because the first week we did this show, Zach, I was talking about Kenny Pickett when no one else was. And I admit I didn't watch a ton of Kenny Pickett until I saw that first game. And he caught my attention because I saw him running down the field and he wears two gloves. Yeah. Two gloves, and then his post-game interview, he said he's about to go crack a beer, and I was like, what the fuck? How old is Buddy?
Right.
Like you can't talk about crack a beer on ESPN on national television. But yeah, no, I love Kenny Pickett. So super happy for him. Doesn't quite deserve to be there, but he's been in college for 13 years. So right. Kenny Pickett, have a day. Yeah, we'll be watching to see what Aiden's mom wears to the ceremony.
I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm. We all are. I do want to ask you, Zach, want to shift focus back to Ohio State because I think this is relevant, very relevant now. There's been some questions and concerns about the motivation of this team going into the Rose Bowl. Obviously, when you're a team that you kind of – your whole season goal is to make it to the playoff and obviously win a national title. Mm-hmm. It does occasionally happen. You see – I mean, we saw it with Georgia and Cincinnati last year. Even though Georgia won, there was questions about motivation. There was, you know, all those years ago when the Alabama team got absolutely boat raced by Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And Trevor Knight was the quarterback, and it's like, oh, what's up with they weren't motivated. They're a better team, blah, 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 blah. You coached a team probably, I mean, widely considered the best team, the most talented team, at least of the decade.
Yeah.
At 2015 team with obviously Zeke and Bosa.
Yeah, it was an interesting year. And I think a couple things. That was 6 years ago. Right, which is crazy to think about. 6 years ago, that was seems like 2 years ago. And college football's changed a lot in those 6 years, right? Yeah. Especially with all the stuff that you saw with name, image, and likeness, transfer portals, all that stuff,
and opt outs.
I mean,
that Notre Dame game kind of started the domino effect of massive numbers of opt outs.
Yeah, well, I mean, because of Jalen Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, he blew his knee out as a top five pick, projected top five pick.
Yeah.
And then all the questions around nerve damage and all that stuff, he fell to a second round pick. I mean, he lost millions of dollars playing in that game that literally was a meaningless game.
Exhibition fight.
I mean, it was. And I mean, that team had a culture that I don't think anyone could have imagined opting out. I mean, everyone, Zeke played, Joey Bosa played, like everyone played. In what they, you know, you would have said Michael Thomas played.
Yeah.
Just some high NFL talent that are starters now and big time players. So I think the culture was different back then, but the times were different. And honestly, I think I mentioned it yesterday. I don't have any problem with these kids opting out. I think you're going to see, I think Garrett Wilson's going to opt out. I really do. I think Chris Olave might opt out. And there'll be other players. That opt out. Cameron Brown probably will opt out. Like if I was, and for the record, I've talked to none of them about it. So that's just what I feel, just kind of a hunch. I've talked to none of them about it. I will talk to none of them about it. So don't act like I just named three guys I recruited. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm telling them or advising them to opt out, because I'm not. But I think some guys like that will opt out, because what is this for? Utah in the Rose Bowl? Like, what do they play? I get it's the Rose Bowl. Like, old school me is saying, like, this is a freaking Rose Bowl, man. And it's your teammates, it's your brothers. Like, go out and end it the right way. And I think there is a little bit of that. I think there is, you know, a feeling of like, God, I don't want my last game to be that just lost gross embarrassment against Michigan. Right. I think that is a real thing. And I think that's something that they're all weighing. But I do think at some point, you got to invest in your future and you got to not risk it. So I think there's going to be people that opt out. But how you keep the only way to stay motivated is a culture. The culture has to be strong, because at the end of the day, you're still going to go on national TV. You're still going to have millions of people watch you. You still are going to go do what you love. You're going to go on the field. And if you have any self-respect and pride, you're going to go out there and ball out, right? You're going to give it your all if you play, right? And so the bowl games are always a great experience. I mean, the traveling, the hotels. I mean, you talk about five-star shit. Like, it's like nothing that an average person ever like is a part
experience,
of
right?
I mean, it's like I look at it and I even look back on it now, I'm like, holy shit. I talked to my son about it, because he's really the only one that's old enough to remember any of it when I was coaching. And it's like, you're like, just insane that the coaches' kids, the coaches, the players, they all get to experience that. It is like, I mean, you land and they will land in LA and have a red carpet off their jet with like girls like putting flowers around them, like just like a welcoming committee. Then they get on a bus, go to the nicest hotel in LA, and then they will, I mean, it's like carte blanche. Like, what do you want? There's a hospitality room that is like this, probably the three of my houses, which I have a decent sized house.
Yeah,
three of my houses. Do. And just like, you're talking about massage chairs, like Xbox stations, PlayStation stations, like virtual reality, like just nuts, right? At the Cotton Bowl, every day is something, right? The first day we get to the Cotton Bowl, they have some big time boot company in Texas come in. And when you walk into the hospitality room, it looks like a fucking boot store. And you just go in and get free like $350, $400 boots. Cowboy.
What?
Boots. Oh, yeah. My son got them. I got them. Like all the players got them. Everyone got them. And every day is something like that. And you would like hindsight being 2020. And even at the time, I mean, I'm a relatively smart dude. Like you sit there and you look around and you're like, these fuckers are so spoiled. And myself included, right? And it's deserved, but you're like, when they're done playing, they're going to go to like a Hilton and be like, what is this shit? It'll be like a 5-star Hilton. Yeah. And they'll be like, it's just okay.
Ruined like, all hotels forever. Every right, family dude, vacation, everything ruined. Like, right.
Where's the Xbox room? So it's a cool experience. And it's definitely a different experience. And I think with the right culture, a team will be motivated, right? So I think the question really is going to be who's going to play or who's going to opt out. And if there aren't any opt outs, or even if there are, I think the players that are going to participate and going to take the field, I mean, they are going to be extremely motivated. I mean, they just got embarrassed by their rival. Like you talk about a team that's in the way of a pissed off team that just needs to let out some frustration. Utah better watch out. And I think Utah's a really good team. And I think Utah presents a bunch of problems for Ohio State. But I'm telling you, you don't want to play this team right now. Not after what just happened. They're going to come out swinging so fucking hard. And Utah's going to be like, damn, like what'd we do? Like, you hate us now? Sorry.
Going into that game, Ohio State's going to be a team that's basically had their manhood questioned for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And that's got to be taxing. And young players take things personally. And this is the youngest Ohio State team, I think, ever fielded. So there's going to, I mean, yeah, they're getting in front of a pissed off power puncher from what it seems like. And for the young players, I think I'm not worried as much about motivation as a lot of people are, because I think young players are just so hungry to prove that they're right and to, you know, open up jobs next year and to be on the field and prove that whatever happened 2 weeks ago will never happen again. I'm not super worried about that part of it, but I do think Utah's a damn good football team, Zach. Like, obviously, you'll get into them more. I think they're a damn good football team, and we both called it early that we expect them to beat Oregon probably twice, and they did indeed do that.
They beat the brakes off them. This is going to be like when you're in high school, right, and you maybe get in a fight and you get beat up, right, and you go back to your little friend group, and there's that little runt, maybe the small friend, you know, the guy that everyone makes fun of, and he like laughs at you, and you just beat the shit out of him for laughing at you because you're so mad that you just lost the fight, right? That's what it is. And it's like, I'm telling you, Utah better watch out. And that's not even getting into analytics. Just I'm talking about the mentality of the team. It is what it is, I guess.
I do want to ask you, I want to flip to the SEC. I want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Georgia could or should flip quarterbacks for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they should. I think they should have a long time ago. This is Kirby Smart just again fucking up the quarterback position. It's a lot like when Clemson had Kelly Bryant, right? A lot like
when Smart had Jake Fromm.
Yeah, very similar. Or when Alabama had Jalen Hurts, right? Mm-hmm. It's at some point you have to realize what your end game is, right? It's no different than CJ Stroud, in my opinion, and I mean very different because he's the best option. But at some point as a head coach of a playoff caliber team, right? And you'd say there's probably six or seven playoff caliber teams as far as talent, as far as, you know, just ability. And obviously a couple of those seven teams lost. And so they didn't make the playoffs. But when you talk about playoff caliber, there's only a handful of those, right? Maybe eight total in the country that are playoff caliber. Then you got to play the games and see who, you know, handles their business and gets in. That's just the reality of college football. And the problem is for Kirby Smart is he has probably the most playoff caliber team in the country. And all year long, they were playing marginal opponents, right? Kentucky at 23 was their best, the best team they played all year.
Right.
So, I mean, not his fault, but Florida sucks, right? All these teams are down that they played.
Clemson was sucks, bad,
right? Yeah. Like, who'd have thought? But he's playing Stetson Bennett originally out of injury, right? Because he had to play, right? And JT Daniels was hurt, so Stetson Bennett had to be the guy. But then it was just comfort, right? It was comfortable to play Stetson Bennett. And everyone heard me. I love Stetson Bennett. I think he's a little baller. Like, fucker runs around, scrambles, throws. But I've said it from day one. He's not a thrower. He can't throw. And when you play Alabama and you get in these playoffs, like, if Stetson Bennett's the starter, watch out. They'll probably lose the semis. Because you need to have elite quarterback play to win a national championship. To win a championship, period. I mean, Georgia could go from being the best team ever that everyone thought. Best team ever. Best defense ever. Like, fucking no one can touch them, right? To a non-champion at any level. They're already not going to be the SEC champion, right? Mm-hmm. Now they might not win the national championship. And now the best team that ever lived didn't even fucking win a championship, right? And it's all because of Kirby Smart. He refuses to think big picture. It's a dumbass defensive coach. Honestly, I've been around some of them, just stubborn as shit. Like, it's like O-line coaches and defensive coaches. They can't see the value in throwing the ball or quarterback play. And it's just, it's unfortunate for Georgia. It's unfortunate for Georgia fans because, yes, it is time to put JT Daniels back in. He is a far superior quarterback. If you want to win the national championship or even have a shot to, you need him to play. And
yeah, no, I agree. And it feels so, this is where, you know, people are going to throw stats at us. People are going to throw stuff like that at us. But these eight playoff teams, these eight, you know, playoff caliber teams that usually, if you, whatever quarterback you plug in, the surrounding cast is going to be so talented that quarterback will put up good to decent numbers, and their numbers alone won't be a reason to bench them. But as a elite head coach, you have to find the thing that you call whatever the it factor, that extra edge, that you know, extra dimension that makes that quarterback a championship level quarterback to win it all. And Kirby Smart has done this before. Do you remember when Jacob Eason got hurt? The plan was to start Jake Fromm for a little bit and then get Jacob Eason back in there. Well, Kirby Smart ended up falling in love with Jake Fromm, even though Jake Fromm, you know, he'd give you, you know, 16 for 23 with a 210 yards and a touchdown. And they fell in love with that because they were winning big because the running game was good and they're playing marginal opponents. So there was like no reason for a quarterback controversy. But anybody with eyes could see that Fromm was not a better quarterback than Eason. So then, you know, Eason leaves, goes to Washington, puts up some big time numbers. I think gets drafted ahead of Fromm. And then obviously we saw it again. Justin Fields was the backup. And it was obvious to anybody with a pair of eyes that Fields was more dynamic, was a better quarterback. But comfort Kirby Smart got in this place where he didn't want to switch things up. And that's kind of what separates what I'll call the championship level coaches from the non-championship level coaches. Kirby Smart has done the least with the most for quite some time now. And it really starts and ends with the fact that at the quarterback position, he continues to mismanage it over and over and over again. This is going to be their third five-star quarterback that if he doesn't play, this will be their third five-star quarterback coming out of high school that has sat in the playoff game for someone who is not as dynamic of a thrower. That's alarming. Just in the Kirby Smart era, that'll be the third five-star guy.
You just can't understand it. And eventually people are going to be pissed. I mean, I know they already are to an extent, but here's the thing about college coaching, right? Is Kirby Smart has done an outstanding job at Georgia. No one can dispute that, right? I mean, he's been in the playoffs several times. He's brought them back to relevancy. I mean, he's dominated the SEC East. So he is, I mean, by all accounts, he's done an outstanding job. The problem is this. The way you lose and the reasons you lose matter at this point, right? This deep into a tenure. And Georgia fans and Georgia administration, honestly, at some point are going to get sick and tired of him losing the games, right? Not a player dropping a pass, not a defense letting up a big play, him fucking up the decisions on who to play, on style of offense, on just everything that he does. They're going to eventually look at him and go, hey, bud, you're the problem. It's not the players didn't lose. You fucking lost. And eventually, he's going to be in hot water if he doesn't win something eventually, right? He's got to win something eventually. And right now, the only reason Georgia hasn't won the SEC four times and hasn't won a national championship is Kirby Smart. That's the only reason. It's not because Jake Fromm wasn't a great player. It's because they played Jake Fromm, right?
Over Eason and Fields.
Right. It's not because Stetson Bennett's not a great quarterback. It's because they played Stetson Bennett. Right? JT Daniels should be the quarterback of this team. Justin Fields should have been the quarterback of this team. Jacob Eason should have been the quarterback of this team. Like, this is what a blind man can see. But Kirby's such a stubborn fucking defensive coach that he doesn't give two shits. He just rides a hot hand and whatever's comfortable, right? This kid makes me comfortable because he can scramble for a first down. It's like, okay, Kirby, what about when he can't against, like, you know, Alabama? Then what? Mm-hmm. And then, Kirby, you're going to take a big fat fucking L and wear it on your head.
That's literally it. This could be potentially the third time they've sat a five-star quarterback in the playoffs. That's alarming. And he's
not alarming. It's fucking dumb. It's stupid. Like, you can't be that dumb.
Mm-hmm. You cannot be that dumb. Before we get out of here, there is all the reports about Elias Ricks, having OSU as the leader. But then kind of there's some rumored hesitancy on the Ohio State staff on whether they want to take him to, because out of fear of upsetting the young corner, Zach.
Yeah.
Well, this rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. I got a fear that this defensive staff needs upsetting, because that's just absurd. What, we're going to upset some young kids by bringing in a talented kid? If those kids are such pussies that they don't want to bring another talented kid in, then they're not dogs. They need to fucking go. I mean, you talk about this, you talking about everything that's wrong with this defense, mm-hmm. is that statement right there. And if that's true, my God, this defense might not get fixed for 5 years.
And it's on the staff too. You have to breed a competitive environment.
Like, what are we talking about?
Like, those kids don't get gifted
right now.
Exactly. It's Ohio State. You bring in the best of the best.
And my message always to my group and what it should be to this group is, like, what are you worried about? Go develop into a first rounder. First rounders never are off the field, unless you're the Ohio State receivers. Mm-hmm. Then you kick those guys out and send them to Bama. But first rounders are never off the field, right? Go become a first rounder. What are you're worried about? How many first rounders? If you're a first rounder, you're going to play a shitload. Like, who cares if we have 2, 4? What's it matter? You're all going to play then if we have that many first rounders. Like, worry about yourself and worry about your development. Don't worry about who's coming in here, because first rounders, if you have that type of ability and you play at that level, you're going to start. Like, what, mm-hmm. what is the problem? If Elias Ricks comes in, what, you won't get as many reps? Okay, get better, and then you'll get more reps than Elias Ricks. What are we talking about?
And this is going to become a narrative on a couple things, Zach. The direction of this Wild West college football, of just being able to leave whenever, you know, free agency, kind of this generation who, you know, it's no secret, they're closer in age to me. We're probably a little softer than the OGs. And then there's just
not probably.
Okay, bro, chill on me. And then additionally, the thing that is becoming kind of hard to find is alpha males, is what it feels like. I look around more and more, it's harder to find alphas.
You can develop them, though. It's not all about finding them. I mean, don't get me wrong, they got to have something inside of them, but you can develop them. You got to start developing right away. And don't get me wrong, I have so much respect for college coaches right now in this day and age, because it's a lot harder to develop them than it was when I was coaching because of this fucking transfer portal. I mean, it's like, you want to be hard on a kid? Okay, he could dip on you tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. what are we talking about? What just happened to Corey Dennis is criminal. I mean, all the work that he put into getting Quinn Ewers, and Quinn Ewers is all the selfish shit about coming in early so he can make $1 million because of Texas high school law and all this other bullshit, right? And like, just catastrophic failure after all that work. And you just, I feel bad for Corey Dennis. And Ryan Day, because they put a lot of work into that kid, and then
fucking flipped the kid. They did all the work to flip the kid from Herman, man.
Right, and then on top of that, like, for the kid to demand to come in early, they made it work, found a way, like, didn't, you know, settled all the other quarterbacks down. And I remember I was standing with Ryan Day talking to him when the news had broke that day, and it was, I mean, you talk about just a chaotic nightmare, all for this kid. That, and then what? 4 months later, not even 4 months later, 3.5 months later, after all that chaos, 3.5 months later, deuces up in the portal. Like, you can't develop an alpha. I mean, you can, but I don't know how this day and age.
It's just harder now, because you're not just having to walk on eggshells, Zach. You have to fucking tap dance on them. Yeah, like, how do you tap dance on eggshells?
It's a wild time, but we created it. We created it. The NCAA created it by just rolling out the NIL and allowing these slush funds. Now, I saw a thing where Texas is doing it through a 503CB or whatever the fuck it is.
503. Yeah.
Whatever that's it is. It. A charity, right? They're now it's going to be charitable donations to pay players. Like, just wild. Wild shit. And I saw
that goes through a fund. It offers a tax break for donors. And kind of, you know, so they're basically similar. Instead of paying that amount in taxes, they're paying that amount to a charity. It's like philanthropy efforts in Texas. And that way that can go straight to the kids. So it is a legal funnel, basically school pay to play is what it is.
It's just wild. So think about that now. Like, big time boosters can get a tax benefit by donating money to get players paid, right? So they're paying players as a charitable donation to play football.
Like, correct.
What?
And it goes through horns for hearts. So can we get
people,
what?
People wonder why people like, you know, Donald Trump and Jeff Bezos, like how they get away with paying no taxes. It's like, this country is so fucked up. Like, I can right now donate money and we're going to call it a charitable donation to a player to play football, basically is what we're saying. Like, so I'm not going to pay my fair share of taxes because I want to pay someone to play a sport to entertain me. Like, what is wrong with this world? And the NCAA is so dumb. They're letting it all happen. Like, I think
we're so far gone. We're so far gone.
People listen to this show. I said it day one when they first started talking about it. No one was talking about this. I said immediately, because I think like a coach, I think like recruiting. Immediately I said they're going to create slush funds and have salaries for their players. And that's going to be used in recruiting. Like, go to Bama, your starting salary is $200,000. I can go to Texas, my starting salary is only $150,000. Well, I like Bama better then. And they, you know, it's what it was going to be always. And the NCAA did nothing to prevent it. And now this sport is just, I want to say fucked, but it's just different. I don't know.
It's MLB baseball.
Yeah.
No salary caps.
Which is the worst sport in the world.
No salary caps. Just do whatever you must. Do whatever you got to do.
Just wild.
And it is not quite ideal. I do a couple notes on Devin Brown before we get out of here, Zach. I've kind of went the Devin Brown deep dive, you know, our newest Buckeye. And it seems like, you know, he'll have a better chance to play than a lot of people. A couple things about this kid. So first of all, I do think he has a little bit of alpha in him. One thing I think that's important, he's been coached hard for a long time by his dad. His dad is the type of dad that would constantly remind him how other quarterbacks across the country were that much better than him. And that became an ultimate motivator. Also, he is a dual sport guy, and you don't see that a lot nowadays. A lot of times there's so much singular sport focus. He's actually a hell of a basketball player. Saw him hit a windmill, went back and watched some of his film from last year. He's a nice little bucket. So that compared with the fact that he openly threw his hat into this Ohio State ring without – I don't think he knew which quarterback was going to transfer. I think he knew one would transfer. I don't think he knew who. And he's not worried at all about the years and the reclassifications. So I think Devin Brown is going to be a net positive for the quarterback room. I don't know how good he is as a quarterback yet, but I think he's a net positive, and I think at least he has a little bit of alpha in him. Dare I say Joe Burrow, just because of the basketball thing, but I'm not going to say it. I was just
you love a great athlete at quarterback, right? Always. And I know this much. Any quarterback Ryan Day is going to take, I have faith that he's going to be at least a good player, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he might not be a Heisman Trophy winner. That's yet to be seen, right? But here we go. CJ Stroud's up in New York City. So you got to have faith. And I love the fact that he's a decent, good athlete, plays two sports. I saw the video of him dunking. Very impressive for a quarterback. Just side note. I mean, this is things you see, right? That was a two-footed jump. Like, that was not a one-footed jump. Like, that's impressive as shit. A two-footed jump to windmill dunk.
Two-footed windmills are very, very tough, especially because his legs are probably pretty burnt out. It was pretty fresh after the end of
especially football for a season. White guy, man.
Yeah, like, yeah. I wasn't gonna say it, but I mean,
white man really can't jump though. That's I know it's a movie, but that's a thing.
Like, that is real science.
Dude's got some bunnies. So, really, we'll see. I do want to, Chris, and you can spearhead this. I do want to start watching recruiting film and as we get into the off season, start talking about some of these kids, especially after signing day coming up, on the 15th or something like that. I think it's in a week. I think we need to discuss, you know, a kid a day, a signee a day, and I'll watch this film and give you my opinion, and we can start with him right there.
Yep. And we will. And shoot us. In fact, shoot me or shoot the Menace of Sports page recruits that you would like breakdowns of that Ohio State's in on for other classes as well. And over the summer, we're going to try to hit a lot of those and kind of get back into the eval game to try to make sense of the Ohio State big board and kind of project to the future, because we know that's what you guys like. That's what we love to do. Obviously, Zach's a longtime coach of some sort. I don't know where you coached at, but I heard you're a longtime coach. Yeah, and coach, me, I'm a longtime recruiting nut. So, but that's all I have for today, Zach.
Cool, man. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. Menace out.
Menace out.
Menace Nation, it's Menace morning time.
Wake 'em up, wake 'em up, wake 'em up, wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera, hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big,
couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on egg today.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma put up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case. That man be